Good morning. For the college students in the room, like, if you're, you kind of have to start thinking about summer of 2025, like, now, in the sense of, like, well, maybe not now, but, like, this semester, as you get closer to Christmas time, you're, like, you start making plans. So I would really nudge you guys to consider one of their mission trips over the summer. I think it'd be a really cool experience for you guys, so... thanks, you guys, for being here. Okay, so this summer, we've been chipping away at the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' sermon that he preached. This is, you can find it in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And each week, we've been saying that this sermon is saying to us, this is what a follower of Jesus looks like. And so all of us are being discipled by something or someone. So for example, when I was a teenager, I immersed myself in late night talk shows. So Johnny Carson and David Letterman were my mentors, my disciplers. So much so that when I was in high school, I created my own like talk show. And I would interview like friends and family members, and you can find this on my YouTube channel. I'm not messing with you, you can. It's there. When I became a student up here in the early 90s, my roommate and I, he was also being discipled by Johnny Carson and David Letterman, and so we started our own talk show called Next to Midnight, and it aired on Friday nights at 11:30 p.m., like, in town. Like, not, like, do y'all know what public access television was, or is? So it aired, like, on a, you know, one of those channels that, like, I don't, you guys, I'm looking at you, and you're like, there's a generation gap here. But back when I was a kid, right, back in the old days, there was only four channels. But one of those was a public access channel where people could just do whatever. And so we had our own show, and it aired for a month, and then it got canceled. So we're all being discipled by something or someone. And so Jesus says to us, let me disciple you. Like, let me shape you. Let me mold you. Learn from me. That's what his invitation to us is. So right in the middle of this sermon, we find the Lord's Prayer. And so if you've been with us for the last 6 weeks, we've really slowed down because we've been looking at each phrase of the prayer kind of like 1 week at a time. And so last week we talked about when he says to pray, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. So let me just stop here just for a moment. There's something that I left out in last week's sermon, this one about forgiveness. So forgiving someone doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation with that person. Like, that is the goal for reconciliation to take place. But the reality sometimes means that the relationship changes. And so we can forgive someone if we can forgive them, but sometimes we just can't go back to the way that the relationship was. Sometimes we have to create boundaries, right, with the people that we forgive. There's a book called The Gospel-Centered Life written by a guy named Bob Thune, and on this he says, we can release the debt without lending more money. And so if any of that hits hard, with you guys, we have resources to help you. Mainly, we have relationship to offer you. So if you find yourself in a tricky relationship where there's been wounds on both sides and you're trying to figure out, how do I navigate this friend? How do I navigate this roommate? Whatever the relationship is, could be a parent, right? We want to offer help. So I'm extending my schedule to you right? Coffees, lunches, I love hanging out with people throughout the week. Okay, this morning we're ending our time in the Lord's Prayer in this last phrase of the prayer where he says this, he's teaching us to pray this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this previous petition, the one about forgiveness, prays for release from the guilt and penalty of sin. This one prays for release from the power and corruption of sin. So I've asked Becky Herklotz to read the passage. So she's coming forward. Let's stand together. And as we've been doing each week, we've been, even though we're just talking about one phrase at a time, we've been reading the prayer kind of as a whole.
Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Becky. Are you guys, y'all familiar with Ken Burns, the work of Ken Burns? He's a documentary filmmaker, made all kinds of cool stuff. And I've been rewatching one on country music, which is kind of surprising because I'm not drawn to country music. You can boo and hiss if you like. No, seriously. Just kidding. So I've been rewatching this one, and there's one phrase that just kind of pops up through the documentary, and it's this: country music is three chords and the truth. That's true, right? Like the people who love and drawn to country music are like, yes, that's exactly right. So in 2022, a guy named Luke Combs, used to live here, he wrote a song called Tomorrow Me. And in this song, the song finds him fighting a desire to rekindle an old flame. And here's what he writes. 'Cause the tomorrow me ain't gonna like the way things go tonight. So maybe we should let yesterday be, 'cause I gotta live with tomorrow me. That is gold. That is so good. Man, I wish this song existed when I was a college student. Now I'm kind of thinking, like, should I go into these stories? I will not. I will not. There are so many stories to tell. What Luke Combs is getting at, he's communicating something to us that we all wrestle with. And it's like fending off, it's resisting the temptation, right? The temptations around us. And so in this part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus wants us to be aware that temptations are all around us. There's temptation within us, and we are like stalked by temptations on the outside around us. So let's circle back to the very first temptation that we see in Scripture. This is Genesis 2, Genesis 3. For context, God creates the world. That's a big conversation. Like, how did he do that? Right? There's all kinds of ideas out there about how that happened. But he does. He creates Adam. And in Genesis 2, God says to him, Adam, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so there's the warning, right? And then later on, Satan shows up in the form of a serpent, and he tempts our first parents about that tree. And he basically says, come on, did God actually say, like, just eat. It'll all be okay. That's what he says. And at that moment, the seeds of doubting God were planted in the heart of man. And tragically, Adam and Eve took the bait, and they entered into the temptation. And ever since, the world that God created has never been the same. The creation, including us, have been groaning out since that day, like for redemption, for restoration. And one day, that's going to happen, right? So as Tolkien says, all the sad things come untrue. But right now, all of us, we live in the aftermath of the fall, which means we are prone to give ourselves over to our temptations. The first Adam failed the test, which means that we have failed the test because all of us are born into Adam. Now, when someone says that, you might be thinking like, man, I'm like, why am I held responsible for something he did? Like, I wasn't there. And all I got to say about this is that Romans 5 says you were. Like, in other words, Paul's teaching in Romans 5 that Adam was our representative head, which means what happened to him happened to us. Like, all of us, every human being ever created since then, carries around the spiritual DNA, which means that when Adam chose to be his own God, when Eve chose to be her own God, that happened to us as well. So listen to the language that's used to describe what was going on in the hearts of Adam and Eve when they were first tempted. So this is in Genesis 3. It says this, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Now listen to James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. He wrote the epistle of James in the New Testament. Listen to him describe what that all looks like in us. He writes this, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Like, as you hear that read, don't you just kind of feel this, like, it's just like this weight being kind of pressed down on us? It's like, whoa, that's really heavy. So let's talk about our desires for just a few minutes. Like, desire in of itself is not wrong. Like, we're hardwired by God to desire. We desire good food, a good hike, a good book, a good film, a beautiful piece of music, intimacy with our spouse, good friends, a satisfying career, a good vacation. All those are good, right? So one way to look at our desires is to ask ourselves this question, am I over-desiring this thing? You see, the problem is when our desires for created things like supersedes the creator, right? We desire the creation over the creator. And that really is kind of the heart of our sin. Like we take something that's good and then we turn it into something that's ultimate. Listen again to the words of James, the language he uses, lured and enticed by his own desire. And I think that's something that everybody in this room can really identify with. That's what Luke Combs was talking about. That's what Adam and Eve were faced with. And so Jesus is inviting us to pray about this. He's saying, when we're tempted, he's basically saying, and lead us not into temptation. In other words, like, just help me to not even go there. It's not wrong to be tempted. There's a difference between being tempted and then just walking straight into it, right? So he's saying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some translations translate that, deliver us from the evil one. So he's acknowledging that we are so often tempted on two fronts, like from within, our own indwelling sin, and from the outside, the enemy, Satan. And those two often work together, right? So your sin, my sin, teams up with the enemy and then creates all kinds of chaos in our lives. In this part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is inviting us to cry out for God's help, for his protection when that happens, to protect us from ourselves, and in the words of Peter, from your adversary, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, that's a rather vivid image, don't you think? A prowling, roaring lion seeking to devour someone. So I've never seen a lion in these parts, although at the 9 o'clock service, when I said that, I looked over here and I saw LaVita Law, and LaVita Law is a retired missionary. She served in the DRC for decades, and I remembered, I was like, oh, LaVita has the head of a lion in her closet here in her home in Boone, and she won't hang it up on the wall because she has grandchildren, and she was afraid that it would frighten her grandchildren. But she's like, you want to see it? I was like, yes. And it's like literally in a trash bag. So other than that lion, I've never seen a lion in the North Carolina mountains, but you know what I've seen? Bears. So 2 weeks ago, one of our neighbors took this picture of a bear in our neighborhood. So that is my neighbor's yard. And it looks, from this, it looks like Sasquatch, kind of grainy. But when I saw this 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, I freaked out. Like completely freaked out. Like was just like, oh no, oh man. Like, we're not talking about raccoons and possums, right? Or rabbits, wild turkeys. We're talking about a bear. And so all I could think about was this documentary that I saw years ago called Grizzly Man. It came out in 2005. So this guy, this is a true story about this guy. This guy's name is Timothy Treadwell. And this guy traveled to Alaska every summer for 13 summers, and made friends with grizzly bears. Like, he gave them names, and they knew him. And some of these bears didn't quite know what to do, because this guy was, like, super up close and personal with these bears. As it turns out, he stayed about a week too late. And so he and his girlfriend were killed by one of the bears that they became friends with. So there was two things that got this guy killed: himself and the bear. So metaphorically, this is what Jesus is asking us to pray about at this point in the prayer, in this prayer, like, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, Lord, help me not to hang out with grizzlies in Alaska in October. Jesus is inviting us to call out to the Father for help, like from the grizzly within and from the grizzly on the outside. Okay, so how does the gospel speak into all of this? In Genesis 3, the first Adam failed the test. Like, Adam was tempted, and he entered into the temptation, which means we need a better Adam. We need a second Adam. And you guys, in Christ, we get one. Jesus is the second Adam, and he does what the first Adam failed to do. Jesus was tested, he was tempted, and he passed the test. So as you read about the temptations of Christ, by Satan in the wilderness. All three of those stories are in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And all three of those stories, you can find them at the beginning of those three Gospels. In other words, it's almost like the Gospel writers were trying to say something by placing them at the beginning of the Gospels. Because he's basically saying, look, the beginning, the genesis of Jesus' earthly ministry, this is what happened to him. So Satan tempts Jesus with the same things that we are so often tempted with, what Adam and Eve were tempted with: pleasure, pride, and power. So when tempted by pleasure, Satan says to him, if you're the Son of God, now remember the context, he's been in the wilderness for 40 days, right? 40 days, 40 nights. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's tired, he's vulnerable. And Satan says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And Jesus says back, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, I don't need your food, Satan, to be satisfied. Satan then tempts Jesus with pride and power. Says this again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. And this one hits hard. Because this is Satan saying to Jesus, look at all of the kingdoms. They can be yours. All the glory can be yours. No suffering, no betrayal, no cross. You can get where you want to go much more easily, much more comfortably by doing it my way. You can have the whole world. You can have all of the power, all of the glory. Just fall at my feet. And Jesus says to him, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus did what the first Adam failed to do. The writer of Hebrews is extremely helpful here. He writes this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Man, that's awesome. Like, you guys, when we are tempted, our greatest resource to get us out of that jam is the person and work of Christ. And as I've been working on this sermon this past week, there are tips, there's resources to help us when we're tempted. For example, like knowing what your triggers are is helpful, right? Knowing, you know, whatever the thing is that you wrestle with, it could be lust, it could be anger, it could be greed, it could be gossip, it could be, you know, that's all real stuff that everybody in this room can identify with and struggle with. Knowing what your triggers are to prevent those things is helpful. Having a community of people who know you and love you and care for you, having that kind of resource is extremely helpful, right? So, like, if you struggle with porn, it's helpful to be able to call somebody earlier in the day, like whatever your window of time of struggle is. For some, it's in the middle of the day. For some, it's late at night. I don't know. Like, it's different for everybody, right? Those temptations. But it's helpful when you know you're vulnerable to that kind of stuff. It's helpful to be able to call somebody and say, I think I might look at porn tonight. I need you to help me not do that. I need you to pray now. Right? It's those relationships are extremely helpful. What Luke Combs says in his song, you know, it's helpful to be reminded that the tomorrow me is going to regret the today me. or the tonight me. In other words, to remember what it feels like tomorrow, right? Whether it's the regret, the shame, the guilt, all that stuff. To remember what that feels like is helpful to go, oh, that's terrible. I don't want to feel that way tomorrow. So I need to say no to this temptation today. All that's good, and I commend those things to you. But at the end of the day, what we really need to protect us from the grisly within and the grisly on the outside of us is the gospel, is the good news that Jesus came here to save sinners, just like us. Like Hebrews 4 is telling us that he understands what it's like to be a human being. Just let that set in for a moment. The God who created the universe, who incarnated himself in the person of Christ, knows what it's like to be a human, right? We believe that Jesus is fully God and fully human, the two natures of Christ. We need him to be both. And he understands what it's like to be you. Yet he never gave in to his temptations, right? He never entered into, we need him to do that as well. Here's the thing, when we place our faith in Christ, we too pass the test. The first Adam failed the test, the second Adam passed the test. The gospel says that we're united to Christ, we are in Christ, the second Adam through faith. And his perfect record, his righteousness is transferred or imputed to us. We're safe and we're secure in him. And so when we fail, and we will, we can approach God's throne of grace and confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I think what I really want to leave you guys with this morning from this last petition in this prayer is this. Like, to see this last piece of the Lord's Prayer take shape in our lives, we have to be captured by the beauty of who he is. In other words, whatever you're tempted with, and let's just be honest, some of the things that we're tempted with, like, are fun, right? Like, who doesn't love office gossip? Who doesn't love an enormous amount of food to where we, right, overindulge? Those things were never created to fill the space in us that only he can fill, right? They will only leave us emptier. And so whatever those things are that you struggle with, whatever you're tempted by, my encouragement to you and myself is that Jesus is better. Jesus offers more. Jesus is more beautiful than fill in the blank. And so that's my encouragement to us. That's our my prayer for us. We're weak people, aren't we? Like, we're broken and weak folks. And when we're tempted, we need to see the beauty of Christ. And if we do give in to the temptation, the story doesn't end there. There is grace and mercy, plenty of it, to be found only in him. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this piece, this part of the Sermon on the Mount where you teach us how to pray. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends who are here as we've been working through these petitions phrase by phrase each week for the last 6 weeks, that you would help us to see that really what you desire from us is relationship. And so when we do struggle, when we do give in to our temptations, the tendency is to just withdraw from you because we don't feel like we're worthy to even come into your presence. And we're not. But the gospel of grace ushers us into your presence anyway. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends who are here this morning. Continue to help us see the beauty of who Christ is for us. And I pray for the Holy Spirit now to like really apply what we've heard today as we go into a new week. Press it down into our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.